Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Our text is the lesson read previously, with particular attention to these verses. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I am he. Anoki hu in Hebrew. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of a man who dies, of the son of man who is like grass, and have forgotten the Lord your maker who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? Faculty, staff, esteemed guests, it's good to hear this word from Isaiah. And as we do, I'd invite you to reflect on these questions. Can you imagine a time and a place where doctors made house calls, where divorce was rare, where abortion was illegal, where teachers at all levels were respected, and where parents gave their support implicitly and explicitly, where Lutheran confirmands were required to know all the six chief parts with the explanations by heart, where lawsuits were almost unheard of, and where pastors were respected and the church privileged. Now, many of you might think that that's speaking of a fairyland, but some of the elders of Israel here present can remember such a time and such a place. It was small town Midwest in the 50s and early 60s. But even there were theological dangers. For example, only the Roman Catholic and the Methodist churches supported Boy Scout troops. So danger of dangers, and without any awareness of the synodical handbook, a Lutheran boy joined the Methodist scout troop. And more danger arose when he was elected to be a member of the Order of the Arrow. Though not a lodge, entrance into the Order of the Arrow was through a weekend initiatory experience. So on a Friday evening, minus a meal and required to be silent, our young Lutheran lined up with the other candidates, blindfolded, and was led with one blanket in hand into the forest by senior scouts dressed in Indian attire, complete with burning torches. Our Lutheran pilgrim suffered a bit of Methodist prejudice when they led him over hills and through brush and left him in a creek bed with instructions not to remove his blindfold until the sound of his superiors couldn't be heard. The challenge was to spend the night and to find one's way back to camp the next morning. Ah, sweet relief to remove the blindfold and, after a bit of orientation, make one's way up the hill to a dry, soft spot under a big hickory tree. There in the darkness, the world seemed okay. Until quite clearly, something out there was moving in the darkness. A deer, a dog, a person moving around through the forest, first on the adjacent hill, and then nearer and nearer and nearer. As I heard Isaiah's admonition to the faithful, "Who are you that you are afraid of man?" it led me to wonder if I had ever really been afraid, and this far-off experience came to mind. I was afraid. Of course, Isaiah's target is the failure of Israel to believe and to live in the care of the Lord who has redeemed them. He cries out, "Have you forgotten the Lord your Maker? He is the one who stretched out the heavens and planted the foundations of the earth. How could you, by contrast, fear man who is but grass and soon devoured by death?" These admonitions are part of Isaiah's larger rhetorical strategy to reverse the hermeneutic of God's people, who were outwardly paying lip service to God, but whose lives were really shaped by fear. Fear was everywhere. Fear of political foes, especially Assyria, but especially fear of the power and the influence and force of the Baals. Altars and idols were everywhere. Fear, it debilitates. Fear, it doesn't fit appropriately with those who are gods. Modernity, postmodernity, pluralisms, Islam, these are forces that strike fear in some, even of the faithful. We are called by Isaiah to name those forces which destroy rather than save, to challenge those forces without fear, and then to confess the wonder and beauty of the true and only God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Isaiah names and he challenges, and then with inspired clarity, he confesses. He names and displays the gracious character of God. He names the one who makes us safe, the branch of the Lord, Emmanuel, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Stem of Jesse, Servant of the Lord, Jesus, God with us. Therefore, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They'll obtain gladness and joy and sorrow. I am the one who comforts you. We are called to delight in our God. We are called to enjoy his gift of salvation. And he invites us, fear not. Yahweh says over and over to his people, fear not. And Jesus says, fear not. We are called to worship, to confess, to live out our lives as those who have been joined to Christ's death and resurrection. Yahweh's mightiest deed, his most merciful deed, all joined in his Son, very God of very God. And when we are in Christ, there is no fear. There is nothing that can separate us from God. And so we face this world, and our delight in God springs from his gracious revelation, invitation in water, word, and wine, without any merit or worthiness on our part, to freely and fully be his. As our surrounding culture descends deeper into the darkness, we need not, we dare not fear or let fear discourage. Rather, it is our calling from God's mercy to be daily refreshed and renewed in his presence. It is not simply obedience, but deep delight. This is our God, and he defines who we are. His marks are upon us, his name is upon us, and his healing word sustains us. It is a word that absolves us. It is a word that gives life. It is a word that guides us. It is a word that guards us. It is the word made flesh in Jesus Christ. Without his flesh, words are nothing. It's his incarnation that makes scripture ring with reality and be ours for eternity. It is his presence, even now the living presence of his word through his prophets and apostles. So whether you're a pastor wondering about some criticism, or a seminary or a deaconess wondering about some professor, or an individual with health issues, whatever or whoever is walking about in the darkness out there, whether it's out there or it's in here, rejoice and be secure in God, the blessed and the Holy Trinity. And if you wonder who was out there that night long ago, it was another candidate for the Order of the Arrow, terrified and trying to find his way before the sun came up. And we became friends that night, and my fear was replaced by a wonderful companionship. But how much more ill-founded is any timidity or fear in us who know and confess the true and living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Pluralism is a big lie. Every accommodation that admits another divinity is false poison for the human spirit. There is one place to live and to be redeemed, and that's in the arms of the Christ, the Son of the living God, with his Father and Spirit. Our Lord has brought Isaiah's claims into the flesh and spoken words that invite us to be his. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. And that is our confession, and that is our life. And here at Concordia Theological Seminary, we believe these words. And it's our mission to teach the faithful, to reach the lost, and to care for all. May our gracious God bless our confession, all of ours, and conform our lives to his absolving and healing word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.